I want to talk on this morning a series called Visionaries. And Andre did some amazing sermons the last 3 weeks. For those of you who missed it, it was really, really special. He spoke right into our hearts and into our identities. But I want to finish this morning by speaking about taking your promised land. You remember the story about Joshua and Caleb and the spies, and they went into the promised land, and they came back with this report that there's big giants, and no, this is not going to work. We would not be able to conquer them. And then Joshua and Caleb said, no way, we are well able to take the land. They had a complete different spirit, a complete different attitude, and they were two people. And the rest were all afraid and negative and not seeing any way that they would be able to do that. And they said, no, we are well able. And I just want to share a bit of my story this morning just about pursuing what God has for you. Pursuing your calling, your destiny, the plans God has for you in the midst of challenges and in the midst of everything telling you you're not making progress. You know, in the midst of going one step forward and 10 back, or that's how it feels sometimes. In the midst of that, I want to share a few things that God did in my life. Because sometimes when we start pursuing God, when we really start seeking Him, it sometimes feels as if all hell breaks loose. How many of you have ever experienced that? It all of a sudden feels, but what on earth is going on? I'm now seeking the Lord. I'm now sorting out my life. I'm now really pursuing what God has for me, and now everything goes wrong. Now it's just as if everything comes against me. You know, and then what often happens, the devil points the finger right back to us, and he will tell you, no, you're doing something wrong. Or you're missing something somewhere. You know, and what I've realized is on our way deeper into the promised land, there are a few giants we need to conquer. It's not because you're doing anything wrong. It's just because there are a few giants on your way to your promised land. And it gave me a whole new perspective on my challenges when I realized that. Instead of feeling like a victim, instead of feeling, oh, but the devil is now on my case and the devil is coming for me and so many things are going wrong. Instead of focusing on that, you're focusing on, no, I'm pursuing my promised land. I'm going deeper into what God has called me to do. Does it make sense to you? So you're going, instead of having a victim mentality and saying, oh, but it's, life is so hard and the devil is coming for me and what's going on? Instead of focusing on that, you focus on, no, I am pursuing my destiny. And yes, in the process, there are a few giants that I will conquer with the help of my God, who is bigger than anything, any giant. But it changes your whole perspective. Okay, so I just want to share a bit of my story with you. Many of you know bits and pieces of that. But we arrived in East London when I was 35 weeks pregnant. Is Marion here this morning? It's more or less where Marion is now, you know. You know, Marion's baby is on her way. It's so special. 3 weeks after we arrived here, Vian was born. My boy is now 3 and a half almost. Praise God. It's a huge blessing. And about 3 months after Vian was born, I started battling to fall asleep. At night, I would lie awake until 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. And now you must remember, when you have a baby, you get up in any case most of the night, but depending on how your baby sleeps, you get up at least once or twice. So, but the weird thing was with me, Vian was not waking up all the time. He slept relatively well, but I was lying awake. So it was such a huge frustration for me because I was not going through the normal getting up for my baby battle. Or, you know, I wasn't tired because Vian woke me up. I was tired because I couldn't fall asleep. You know, so even if I go to bed at 8 or at 9, I couldn't fall asleep. And It was a huge thing for me. It in a sense influenced every bit of my being, because I was tired all the time. I was exhausted all the time. But apart from that, the devil was coming with so many accusations, so many things, saying to me that, you know, I'm putting pressure on my husband, and because obviously if your wife is tired all the time, you're putting pressure on your husband, especially if you have a child, now you're expecting more of your husband. And when I started working with Andre 2.5 years ago, I can't believe it's already 2.5 years, but now I was his employee as well. Okay, we were only two. Matty's now working with us. Praise God for that. She's brilliant. A huge blessing. But it was me and my husband working in an office. Okay, we're now like, we're working together. Now I'm a bad mother. This is what the devil was telling me. Okay, I'm a bad mother. I'm a bad wife. And I'm a bad employee because I'm tired all the time. So apart from the physical exhaustion that I experienced a lot of lies, a lot of thoughts that was not from God. But the devil was trying his best to. It's what Andre preached on the last 3 weeks, the battle for our minds, which is bigger than we could ever imagine. But the devil really tried to convince me that there's something wrong with me, okay, that I'm doing something wrong somewhere, or that I'm missing something, that I should actually be doing something which I don't do. So in the process, that the devil was slowly but surely, in a very strategic way, trying to almost captivate my thoughts and my mind, you know. And we tried everything. We prayed, we worshipped, we anointed the house, we had communion. You know, we did everything that always worked. If there's a crisis, or if we feel that there's an attack, we did everything. And somehow that did not really brought the victory over this thing. So in any case, that was basically 3 years ago that it all started. Middle of last year, it continued, okay? I'm still in this battle. I'll share the rest of the story now. But middle of last year, I did not, through this whole thing, I did not take sleeping tablets, okay? Another big thing where the devil condemned me, because I thought, no, this is a spiritual battle. I need to overcome this in a spiritual way, which is the truth. I know that the root of this whole thing was fear. I think, you know, something not many women talk about either is the whole postnatal depression thing that can kick in. Because I thought, no way, I'm not depressed. You know, I'm not gonna battle with postnatal depression. No way. You know, we have all these things about you and you being strong and you know the Lord. You know, we have all these qualifications, these spiritual qualifications, which disqualify you from life that happens to you, in your opinion. Okay, so in my opinion, no way, I'm not going to battle with postnatal depression. But reading up on it, I realized that obviously Vian's birth must have had a huge impact on me. You know, I remember sometimes just before I was falling asleep, you know that moment where you feel, okay, I'm going to fall asleep now. Maybe not. Maybe some of you just fall asleep, okay? Count your blessings. Then, if your head hits the pillow, you sleep. If you're one of those people, then you must all pray for me this morning. I remember coming to that moment where just before I was falling asleep, I was having this feeling that I was holding Vian, my boy, and that if I'm going to fall asleep, he's going to fall. Weird, eh? But obviously, there was something between me and Vian, that whole thing that they call separation anxiety, that kicked in, that I felt that if I'm sleeping, it was a subconscious thing, okay? Because I'm so tired, I want to sleep, I know he's cared for, I know my husband is there, but the moment when I fall asleep and I sleep, go into a deep sleep, then nobody's going to look after him. So it was the subconscious thing that kept me awake. That's where it all started, I think. But unfortunately, the devil used that whole thing also to bring in more fear, okay? So now what happened is I went through this journey up and down, up and down, up and down. But I know because the root was that fear that kicked in, I didn't want to use any sleeping tablets, okay? So I would go like 7, 8, 9 nights in a row, sleeping 2, 3 hours. I mean, maybe some of you know it. Is there anybody who's ever battled with insomnia in your life? Okay. Praise God. Not praise God. You're not going to battle with that anymore. But you know, I think what also happened to me is I felt very isolated with this whole thing. I thought, I'm the only one not sleeping. You see, because Andre, he sleeps like a baby, let me tell you, whoever decided that is a good expression, it's not a good expression. He sleeps like a rock. Okay, a rock sleeps. He's like, you know, he will get up at night, he will put his head down, 2 minutes later he's fast asleep. So because Andrew was sleeping like this rock, I thought I'm the only one in this whole world who battles to sleep. Okay, I have a new perspective on that now. But that's why I didn't want to touch a sleeping tablet, coming back to my story. And middle of last year, both Andre and I realized I can't go on like this. So for the first time in my life ever, I took a sleeping tablet, which didn't work for me. I had bad side effects the next morning, so I left it again. That was June last year. So somehow I got breakthrough. You know, I think I took herbal stuff as well. You know, there's so many herbal stuff for sleeping. I don't think those things work. I've tried a few of those herbal sleeping tablets. At a stage I thought maybe this is working, but now I'm convinced again it doesn't work. But in any case, if it works for you, praise God. But I had a period of about 6-7 months where I slept relatively well. That for me was a huge breakthrough. That was about middle of last year until February this year, where it started again, where I really started battling again. And this time for me, it was in a sense harder because I thought, I'm over this. I thought God delivered me and God gave me breakthrough, and why on earth am I battling again? And it was unsettling for me and for Andre, and it was all of a sudden just this big thing again back in our home. And then what happened, I tested another sleeping tablet in February, March this year, which worked for me. And I think God started teaching me just the most amazing things about his grace, about his kindness, about many, many things which I want to share with you now. So I just want to, for those of you who have ever taken sleeping tablets in your life, for those of you who have ever been on antidepressants in your life, for those of you who have ever been on any medication where you felt guilty or condemned, or in the church you felt, you know, that people don't understand, or that they, you know, they judge you, you felt judged. And let me tell you, most often it's not really the people, it's the devil convincing you that they are going to judge you. You know, and I think, obviously, this is not the solution, okay? To be on antidepressants for the rest of your life is definitely not God's will. To take a sleeping tablet every night, it's definitely not God's will. But let me tell you, there's no condemnation and there's no shame and there's nothing, you know, that the devil wants to convince us of. That when you take it, that you're a bad Christian, that you don't have faith, and that people are going to judge you. Okay? If people judge you for that, it's just sometimes a bit of ignorance. Okay, people have not been in a situation like that, and I'll talk about that now. So I just want to, if any of you have ever felt guilty about something like that, antidepressants, sleeping tablets, those two things, for some other reason, we can take things for headaches, we can take antibiotics when we're sick, but just don't dare take a sleeping tablet or something for depression, okay? And as I say, it is not God's will, and it's not the solution. But sometimes I've come to a place where I realize that we are body, soul, and spirit. And sometimes you would need to take something, even if it's just for a while, to get you back on track that you can deal with the spiritual things in your life. Okay, so there's no condemnation this morning. I really want to shatter that thing this morning, where the devil brings so much condemnation about things in our lives that nobody know about. Maybe it could be an eating disorder. You know, I think in church that's another thing that's very shameful, because obviously if you know God, how can you still battle with that? Or even addictions. You know, some people battle with addictions, and it's so shameful in church. And you hide it away, as far as you can, because what if people know about this? Will you still be accepted? Will you still be loved? Will people still care, or will they actually put you in a box and say, deal with your issues, please? I don't relate to that, please deal with it. And from my side, from my and Andre's side this morning, I just want to tell you, there's no condemnation. Okay, the last thing that you need when you're actually on antidepressants is condemnation and guilt. Are you watching Shalid? Ons kan vir jou kom berg sien. There's no condemnation. Okay. Praise God. No condemnation for cold feet. Okay, let me come to what I actually want to share with you. Proverbs 31, verse 25 and 26. I've spoken about this before, but God revealed to me many different things now about this scripture. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. First of all, what God showed me is I need to find my strength in Him. Now, let me tell you what happened to me. I'm going to share very personal things with you this morning, so just bear with me. When I worked at an auditing firm, PricewaterhouseCoopers, for 10 years in Stellenbosch, and then a year in East London. When it was a stressful environment for me, I worked with huge budgets and difficult clients and listed clients in Stellenbosch. It was, for my personality, it was huge, okay? And I couldn't rely on Andre to help me in my job. I couldn't. I had to fix my eyes on the Lord. You know, Andre could pray for me, and he could encourage me. He couldn't help me with my... He couldn't help me. He wasn't there. So I learned through my work to put my trust in the Lord, because sometimes I couldn't cope. Sometimes I didn't know what to do. Sometimes it was very technical things that was way over my head, and I had to deal with it. I had to advise people, and I didn't always understand it myself. So it was, for me, a difficult season in a sense, but a very, very good season, because I learned to put my trust in the Lord. I learned to pray in my office and say, God, you need to now help me with this. I don't have anybody to ask. you need to know at this very moment, you must help me. You must give me a revelation about all these technical things. You know, God knows everything about everything. He can help you in your workplace. But it was so good for me. Now, what happened? I always had a dream to work with my husband since ever. Even before I met Andre, I wanted to work with my husband. It's not for everybody, but for us, it was in our hearts since we can remember. Now, what God revealed to me in the last 2 months, which is a very deep thing which I didn't notice and I didn't recognize, a certain part of this dream, wanting to work with Andre, was because I felt safe with him. He was, in a sense, my security. My workplace was a very insecure place for me. It was a hard, demanding, very environment where there was a lot of pressure, a lot of overtime, a lot of big people, important people. And for me, the dream and the just the idea of working with him, it brought so much security to me and safety to me. And I thought it will never happen. I never thought it will actually happen. But since I started working with him, it was such a big thing for me, and I didn't realize. But slowly but surely, I shifted my strength, which I always found in God, because I had to. I shifted it from God to my husband. And I didn't realize that. I didn't see it until the last 2 months, where this whole sleeping problem forced me to deal with certain things in my life, which I don't think I would have noticed any other way. So in the midst of this problem, God is turning it around to show me so many amazing things that He's setting me free. You know, sometimes when God reveals to you something, it's sometimes hard to face it. But if you almost feel relieved, and if you feel light after you heard it, that is the truth. Okay, that is also how you discern between condemnation, between the devil speaking and God speaking. Because when God speaks to you, you know, God said to me, "Sonika, you're not trusting me. You're not placing you're not finding your strength in me." Now, for me, that it's hard. For me to receive that, it's actually hard. Okay, because I always thought I do put my trust in God. But if that was from the devil, I would have felt condemned and guilty and ashamed. And when I heard it, because many people started praying for me in the last 2 months. So for those of you who prayed for me, thank you. At intercession, many people started praying for me very specifically for this thing, and God started showing me things, and this one thing set me free. I think for the first time in a couple of maybe 2 years, I find it's as if God is restoring something between me and Him that was lost since I started working with Andre, because I felt so safe with Him. In my personal capacity, in our marriage and in our friendship, that I shifted my trust and my faith in God to Him when it comes to my work, which is now not work, it's our lives. And I became very insecure in the process. I became very sensitive for His opinion, which I couldn't figure out what's going on with me. You know, if I had any idea that He's unhappy with me, I would not take it very good. And I couldn't, neither of us could actually figure out what's going on with me, because I was never like that. I became insecure. I became somebody who had to constantly affirm, constantly telling me, "You're doing good, I'm happy with you," which He is, you know. But somehow I was convinced that I need to really now work to impress Him, or to win His favor, or to prove that I'm a good, you know, I so badly wanted to prove to Him that I'm a good worker, you know. And because I shifted my strength from God to my husband, it couldn't work. it couldn't work. I was just way too sensitive for his opinion. And I can honestly tell you that there's a huge shift in me, a huge shift, which is so, so necessary for me, for Andre, for what God wants to do in the church, where I have just a renewed focus on God is my strength. And it's changing my life. You know, and when God revealed it to me, I said to him, okay, God, what do I do now? How do I fix this? You know, because I want to fix things. I want to make it right. And God just said to me, Sonika, just don't do anything. Just don't now go and do and try and strive and do anything. What I did, I just took this one scripture, which I want to take you to. And I just confessed it over and over again. I just took this one scripture. I read it out loud and I confessed it over and over again. It says, Jeremiah 17. Cursed is the man who trusts in man. And let me tell you, I felt cursed. I said to Andre, I feel cursed. Which now obviously you want to blame the devil for, okay? Because the devil is the one who curses. But I was cursed because I find my security in my husband instead of finding my security in the Lord. And it's a deep thing. And I'll show you now how you can maybe identify that in your own life. Cursed is a man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert. He shall not see when good comes. So even when good comes, you will not identify that. Okay, people will actually be happy with you. They will love you. They will care about you. But you will not see that. You will just see judgment, condemnation, guilt, shame, fear. This is what you will experience. You will not see good when it comes. Or in a practical way, is God will actually come through for you in a mighty way, maybe financially. And the moment he comes through for you, you start stressing about the next financial thing. Because you don't see good when it comes. You're actually cursed, in a sense, because your heart departed from the Lord. You shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green. It will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. You see, for a tree, drought is a problem. You can die. You can lose your fruit. You can lose your... For a tree, drought is a big thing. Heat could be a big thing. But when we are a tree planted by the river, we will not fear when heat comes. Will not be anxious in a year of drought. And it's something God is doing in me in a very, very fresh and a new way. Where I just said to God, okay, Lord, I put my trust in you. I look away from my husband for security, for safety. I look to you. I put my trust in you, Lord. I say it now every day of my life. God, you are my strength. You are my source. I put my trust in you. And I'm telling you, it's a shift in my heart. I can't explain it to you. It's a shift in my heart. And let me tell you, the time in my life when this was strongest was actually before I was married. So I just want to encourage you, for those of you not yet married, it's a precious time with the Lord. I was so strong in the Lord. You know, I remember having lists of things. God, please, I need new tackies, Lord. Please, God, I so badly want a sound system because I want to listen to CDs. You know, I was like, I still remember that when I was at varsity. My dad couldn't afford buying me stuff. I'm one of five children here to look after. And I remember having lists for God, saying, God, I need new tackies. And then somehow, I get it. I can't, you know, there were just so many situations, but I looked to God for everything. It was such a precious time in my life, and it should not change after marriage, okay? It should not change. And I was very much still there, as I say, until I started working with Andre, because then all of a sudden, I found my my security in Him. And I, when I was praying through this, I really felt that some of you are actually still looking to your dad for security. Okay? Not to God. It's not wrong to look to your husband. It's not wrong to look to your dad to a certain extent. But if your whole identity and security is found in them, you're going to be cursed. You're not going to be a tree that's not anxious and not without fear. Okay? You will not see good when it comes because your identity and your security is not in the Lord. And I really felt some of you are actually still looking to your dads. Some of you are looking to your husbands for that ultimate security we need to find in the Lord. And we can pray about that. If you feel this is you, we can pray about that. Rejoice in a time to come. This is the second part I just want to touch on. God showed me in the midst of this challenge that I must put my trust in Him once again. Everything, my whole being must be fixed and focused on Him. Rejoice in time to come, alive without fear. Fear is not of the Lord. Okay, so for those of you who battle with fear, I've been battling with fear since I was a little girl. And it's a most of the times it's irrational fears, which doesn't make sense. And it's weird. Sometimes I wouldn't fear anything, and then sometimes I would fear everything. I don't know how many of you can relate to that. Sometimes there's no fear, and sometimes when there's a little bit of fear, there's just like, now I'm afraid of everything, which is so ridiculous. But sometimes, especially fear, it comes in waves. Okay? Many things comes in waves. So sometimes you feel free from something, but then it comes back. Then you feel free again, then it comes back. And until that, all those waves and those cycles are finally destroyed and dealt with by God Himself, because we can't deliver ourselves, you're not completely free. But what God showed me, specifically when it comes to fear, is that He is bigger than that. God is bigger than any fear, than any power, any principality, anything that is in your way. And like I shared right at the beginning of my sermon, everything changed for me when I realized that I'm not a victim. The devil is not just coming for me because I'm doing something wrong, because that was also what the devil was trying to tell me. Sonika, you are the problem. You are doing something wrong. Or some other angle he would try is, somewhere in your life, maybe when you were 5 years old, something happened. And that is why you're now fearful today. But, I mean, I don't know what that thing was. But, you see, this is not God. God will come and shine light on something and deals with it. If it was something when you were 5 years old, the devil will come and say, oh, you know, in your past, somewhere, something happened. But he doesn't tell you what. He just leaves you with that something somewhere in your life happened. And that is the reason why you're still stuck today with whatever you battle with. You know, and I had to realize that most often if you feel that the devil is coming, I'm talking about the devil a lot, okay, but we're not focusing on the devil this morning. We focus on a God who is bigger than anything. But sometimes when you feel an attack in some way, what we need to remember is that there's nothing wrong with you. Okay? It's a truth that needs to hit your heart and your spirit. There's nothing wrong with you. And the reason why you feel that is most probably because you're doing something right. You're pursuing something good and godly. Okay? So there's no fear. There's no fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. All right? Another thing God showed me, I'm going to become practical now. Another thing God showed me is in the scripture, she opens her mouth with wisdom and on her tongue is the law of kindness. You know, and what God did in me, especially the last couple of months, is He created in me a compassion that I never had before, which is so good for my heart. You know, if you've never battled with, say, for example, let's take my example, insomnia. If you sleep like a rock, you know, let me tell you, you're going to struggle to identify with me. 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm not sleeping. Now Andre asks me, have you slept yet? So it goes like this. Have you slept yet? No, I'm tired. I know it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Now he prays, takes my hand, he prays for me again. You know, and I think when you never battle with something, it's hard to have compassion. Eh? Very hard. When you've never battled with anything, say for example, you are perfect. You don't have any issue. I mean, you know what? You're actually not going to be a blessing to anybody. Because you're going to be way too perfect for all of us. And, you know, I praise God for what He's doing in my heart. Because I think for the first time in my life, I have real compassion with people who battle with things year in and year out. Where in the past, I would have maybe had a recipe. You know, worship, pray, anoint the house. And let me tell you, those things work. Okay, it's not as if it doesn't work. It's just that I've come to realize that God has a specific way and a specific way of dealing with all of us in His time and in His way. And sometimes, yes, there are tools like worship, like prayer. But sometimes, you know, God will deal with it in a very unique way. And it's not necessarily a recipe that's now going to quickly solve this thing. Okay? But let me tell you, there's a time and a season for everything that we battle with, that God will deal with. And if I have an opportunity again, I can share about that. But if you go to the book of Exodus, how the Israelites were delivered. They were in Israel, they were in what was it? Egypt. They were in Egypt for 430 years. That's a long time. They were oppressed. It's literally a picture of something that we battle with, oppression, you know, that the devil would be tormenting us with. 430 years. And then after, like one day God said, He looked down on His people, He saw their oppression, and He decided, I'm going to deliver them. After 430 years, it's a long time. But you see, it's a picture of everything in our lives. As we are pursuing God, as we're pursuing our promised land, He will deliver you. So I just want to give you hope this morning. Don't give up. Whatever you're battling with, God will deliver you. Even if you come to the Red Sea and you think, oh my word. Now it was the 10 plagues and it was all God's power and now we delivered, but now we're not delivered anymore, God. What now? And then God opens the sea and you walk through. And He said that, this is a scripture I want to quickly share with you. No, I'll get to that now. But when you walk through the sea and the Egyptians are finally destroyed, you know that you're free. But you're not in the promised land yet. And when you enter the promised land, there's Jericho. You know, the very first thing you need to do, you need to conquer Jericho. Okay, so it's not as if God has not delivered you. He has delivered you. But now you're entering deep into your promised land, and there's Jericho, and there's another city, and there's another group of people you need to conquer. Okay? We live in a war, but the battle is not ours. It is the Lord's. Amen. So I just want to give you hope this morning. Okay, let's... Very practical, then I want to pray for people. How do we face our giants when we now enter deeper into our promised land? First of all, we need to focus on God's promises. Get yourself a promise from God. Get yourself a promise. This is my promise that God gave me specifically in terms of my sleeping problems. Last year, February, God gave me the scripture. Exodus 14. Moses told the people, they in front of the Red Sea. Now, it's a big problem, eh? How are they going to cross the Red Sea? But Moses told the people, fear not, this is in the Amplified, fear not, stand still, firm, confident, and undismayed, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will work for you today. For the Egyptians you have seen today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace and remain at rest. Isn't that an awesome promise? The Lord will fight for you. You need a promise. Andre, I think, said one Sunday morning that we've printed our promises on A4 pages, stuck it on our wall. So when I sit on my bed, I see all the promises. And let me tell you, I stand on that because it's not as if in the natural I see everything done and, you know, finished. And I stand on those promises because I know God has spoken to me. Okay, so you need to stand on God's promises and you need to rejoice in every victory. You know, we rejoice in every good night. You know, when we wake up in the morning and I had a good night and Vian slept through, and, you know, Andre goes like, praise God, you know. On Friday morning, this week I actually slept quite well. It's so awesome. On Friday morning, we took Vian to school and Andre said, praise God for 3 good nights. And I thought, yeah, amen. You know, I just realized we had 3 good nights and that's awesome. And I'm going to praise my God for that. You know, I'm not going to think about all the nights that I was lying awake. No, I'm going to focus on my 3 good nights. You know, where Vian slept through, I slept through, I didn't even wake up once. I mean, for me, that's huge. And there's so much peace in our hearts that God is able to get me through this. Amen. You need to surround yourself with friends because you need a word from God. You need to stand on that. You need people that you can trust, that can stand with you. Let me tell you, every time that I battle to sleep, then I think, oh my word, where's Kuba? Is she here this morning? She at the back, okay. I can't SMS Kuba again, Lord. No, I can't SMS Kuba again to pray for me. And then I just feel God says, you have to do that. You have to ask people to pray for you. You have to humble yourself because it's pride. You know, we think, no, I'm a burden. No, it's pride. We need to humble ourselves and admit that we need help. We need prayer. We need people to hold our hands up when we are down. Surround yourself with people. Humble yourself. Ask for prayer. You are not a burden. You are a blessing. And you're going to have opportunity to hold somebody else's hands up some other time. But ask for prayer. Don't isolate yourself. It's very, very important. I'm well able. I've spoken to that. But we need a different spirit. This is how we tackle our giants. We need a promise from God. We surround ourselves with people who can pray for us, who can support us. We believe that we are well able, that God is with us. You know, and I'm telling you, God is doing something in me that I can't exactly define. But I know that God is with me. I know I'm well able. I know. You know, in the past, the devil would have told me, oh, arrogant, proud, no way. You know, my God is bigger than every thought of the devil, every accusation and condemnation. You know, you are well able to conquer anything that's in your way. You are well able because God is with you. Okay, don't let the devil come to you with anything else. You are well able. And then lastly, God's perfect love. I wish I had much more time this morning, but we attended a women's conference in Stellenbosch. Matty and I and Leanne went. It was really, really special. And Lucille May had the last session, and she's spoken about awaken your confidence in the Lord. Awaken your confidence that we are queens and kings. But we are married to the King. You call the shots. You are in control. In the spiritual realm, you have authority as the wife of the King. Okay, we are married to the King. You call the shots. You speak. And whatever need to listen, listen in the spiritual realm. And she said it's not about waiting for the storm to pass, but it's about learning to dance in the rain. It's not waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain. And it sounds very easy. It's not easy. It's not easy to not wait for your storm to pass. But she explained, and this is what I believe God wants to do in us this morning. She said, the opposite of fear is faith. The opposite of fear is faith. And what destroys fear? The perfect love of God. You find it in 1 John 4:18 that says, such love has no fear. It's in the New Living Translation. Perfect love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. So faith in the perfect love of God destroys fear.